report, you people. Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlasio for another day of broadcast insolence.
This may be one of the least productive Mondays in the history of Mondays in Chicago, specifically for sports fans. I mean, my gosh.
Right. Well, it's a holiday day, technically. I mean, a lot of people are off today.
And then some people who are sports fans have to work and are really distracted by everything going on.
No.
And will be.
No.
Yes. This is a big day.
No.
Wow, what's going on today?
Kevin, what's happening on the field of Wrigley Field right now? Is there something going on?
Yeah, they just started. Game three of the NLDS. It's kind of a big deal.
Oh, they heard the show started, so they're applauding. I understand.
Oh,
I get it.
Thanks, Cubs fans. That's all for
Ro and Anna.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
Thank you.
Touched.
Full house, obviously, here at Wrigley, and an electric atmosphere, as the kids like to say. It's electric in here for sure. The national anthem was phenomenal.
And, did you take a knee, Kev?
I did not. I stood with all the other reporters in our auxiliary press box.
There's so much
press, they move us down the left field line, and they have sort of a makeshift press box, so they have tables and stuff for us, and they run the internet out here. So we're actually down the left field line in the upper deck.
Why'd you get kicked into the auxiliary press box?
Don't they realize that you're from the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlasio?
Yeah, did you tell them that?
It doesn't help.
Did you say that?
No,
Are you sure they know?
Actually, let me just tell you, that does not help.
No.
It really doesn't help with especially when during a traffic stop I go, "Don't you know who I am?"
Right, right.
Never works.
The main press box is reserved for writers. They keep it nice and quiet in there for all the writers. The rest of us, I actually like being out here in the crowd. It's a little less stuffy and more fun.
You get to be part of the action.
That's right.
I like that too. Well,
call for the hot dog man once in a while. Get a couple of the enemies.
You're doing that. Yeah. I see. I understand.
Flag them down.
They're not really a surprise to any of us. All right. Well, good. I'm very well. You know, we'll keep people abreast of the score as it goes along. You don't have to necessarily endure the heartbreak of this or the exhilaration of this simultaneously.
Right.
We can do it in a cool and calm manner for you throughout the afternoon. See, they like that idea at Wrigley Field, don't they? They're applauding that.
See?
They think that's a good idea.
That's right.
They wish they were. They should just all tune their personal radios to WGNRadio.com, and we'll help them through that.
You won't miss a thing.
But as you guys said,
they like WGN Radio. See what they're doing there?
Huge fans of WGN. I've been looking forward to this day, obviously, like most Chicago fans. Just an original six matchup coming up with the Hawks, and then, of course, Mitchapalooza later. It doesn't get much better than this.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait for Mitchapalooza.
Actually, the crowd there was very upset because they're like, what about Glennon?
I mean, seriously.
We love Glennon.
Hey, you know who's here to give the play ball? Because, you know, they have, like, celebrities come in to announce play ball. None other than Coach Ditka. He's on hand today.
Oh, my gosh. Is that Coach Ditka of the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlasio?
It is.
You can hear him every Friday here on the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlasio. Coach Ditka?
Coach Ditka is on hand. I'm not exactly sure. He was screaming into the mic trying to get the fans pumped up.
Uh-huh.
All I could make out of the whole thing was play ball from Coach Ditka. And then he gave me a wave down the left field line, which I thought was nice of him.
Muscle man! There's muscle man!
That guy's got no problems, all right? Total muscle man.
Yeah.
And then Bill Murray's going to be there today, too, is what we hear.
Yeah, Billy Williams threw out the first pitch, so I'm sure there's going to be a whole cavalcade of celebrities coming through Wrigley the next 2 days.
Yeah, well, that's a big deal. I mean, listen, you know they got two games here.
That's right.
It was a bit of a heartbreaker, right, when the whole thing went down.
Yeah, that was a huge moment for the Nationals, obviously, but to have Bryce Harper do it, I think it meant a little bit more. This is a franchise that's never won a playoff series, and Bryce Harper's not going to be with the Nationals forever. After next year, he's a free agent, probably going to get a mega deal from a team like the Yankees or Red Sox, or he's probably not going to stay with Washington. So this is sort of their window is closing, and they have everything you could possibly want. And it looked like they're about to go down 2-0, and the next thing you know, Bryce Harper launches a ball 421 feet into the right field seats. And basically saves the national season, because if you go down 2-0 in a best of five, your chances of winning, I think, is at like 12% or something like that. And most teams don't come back from down 0-2. So that was a huge moment for the Nationals. But the Cubs are, you know, Rizzo joked about it after the game. He's like, you know, we've given up bigger homers. And then he pointed to Game 7 of the World Series last year in the eighth inning, and they were able to overcome that. So I don't think it really shook this team all that much, and they're pretty confident.
Good. Good to hear.
Yep, absolutely. I think it's good to hear. We'll find out. I'm a little nervous.
You are?
Why is the crowd applauding my nerves? Why would they? Just because I'm nervous.
That may be a good thing.
Doesn't mean that that's a good thing.
No, it's just Jose Quintana, 1-2-3 inning for him. Making his playoff debut, by the way. Remember, the Cubs just traded for him a couple months ago with the White Sox. So this is his first chance to pitch in the playoffs.
We should just ask the crowd questions, though. Like, just keep going and seeing how their response is. Yeah. Like, tell your future.
Right.
Yeah, like in a magic eight ball.
Sort of, yeah. Ask again later, I think, in between innings. All right, Kev, thank you. Appreciate it. We'll be checking in with Kevin.
All right. Oh, sounds really exciting out there at Wrigley.
Yeah, it does.
Very exciting.
All right, so here is Violetta Pitomatic. It's very exciting on the roadways, is it not?
Tonight, Monday Night Football. Did you know that it's happening tonight? WGN-TV is the place to go. Yes. Yes, switch to Mitch. It's happening. Bears, Vikings, kickoff 7, WGN-TV Sports. Monday night pregame tonight, 6:30. So there you go.
And he looks good in a Bears hat.
Hat or helmet?
Hat, helmet, whatever. He just looks good.
The hard thing or the soft one with the bill?
All of it.
Yeah, okay.
What if he were wearing it backwards and kind of slightly to the side? Would that still look okay?
Yeah.
Is he still hot then?
Hat to the back?
Even better.
Going the hat? Really? You know what? For you, I can see that.
Really?
That seems like,
all
you know,
I'm trying to say
the
is
millennial.
He looks good regardless.
Yeah, does the hat to the back. I mean, I think that the future of the formal dress in the world is going to be the hat to the back.
Oh, gosh.
It's going to be, you know, like a studded black hat that goes to the back.
Does he beat Rizzo for you, Violetta?
I think so, just because he looks so innocent.
And because Rizzo already got married, despite of Violetta's entreaties to the opposite. Right, Ben Bradley?
Yes, she did entreaty many a time.
Yes. There were entreaties.
Have you seen his socks? I mean, they are just scrumptious.
Rizzo's socks?
No, Trubisky's socks.
No, I haven't looked, but
I
will.
I'm going to Google that now.
We're actually making fun of Violetta.
Well, do a better job because that wasn't funny.
I just wasn't that funny, yeah. I mean, can you imagine how this city is going to feel tomorrow if Trubisky absolutely sucks?
That's not going to happen. Bradley, it's not going to happen.
We'll find hope in anything he does.
I'm telling you. The beginning of a new era, no matter what.
That's why hope and faith are such powerful things. Sometimes, despite what you see, you don't see what you don't want to see. And we are not going to want to see something bad here. And if it is bad, we're going to go, hey, you know what? We'll have a million excuses tomorrow for what happened. It's everybody else's fault.
Yeah, we'll come up with those.
And John Fox is going to have the exact same disposition tomorrow, regardless of whether we won by 40 or lost by 20.
Well, I don't think so.
You stopped watching the games, right?
I don't really pay much attention, but I'll say this right now. That if Madge does well, I'm going to do a happy dance in the press conference and say, see, I told you so.
No, you know what he's going to do? Huh. If the Bears win tonight and Trubisky has a great game, next week he's going to put Mike Glennon back in.
Okay. Hey, that's a good idea.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
He just needed a break. Meanwhile, Joe Maddon at Wrigley is having brunch and putting the NFL on the big screen. That was his pregame practice yesterday.
Yeah, well, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? And you're trying to keep them loose because there's a way to get real tight here after what happened on Saturday night for the Cubs. So we'll just have to see. But isn't it funny? This is like such a dominant sports moment. Question is, how will the Hawks tonight? As they did a couple of seasons ago. Remember, there was their opener 2 years ago was during the one game playoff, the wild card NL wild card game.
Yep, I remember.
And
that.
So they had to put it on all the TVs in the concourse. Mm-hmm. So the TVs are just a few feet away from each other as you walk down the concourse. There's a screen over your head that's, you know, it's like being in an airplane. You know, where there's always a screen.
Mm-hmm.
And so they put it on there. I wonder if they will put the Bears game on tonight.
Oh, I think you have to.
You got to. Yeah. Monday Night Football, Trubisky.
Yeah.
And if the Hawks play as well as they did the other night and rack up about 36 goals.
Oh, gee, they are spectacular.
They are en route right now because they had, four or five? Five, right? On Saturday?
Five what?
5-1. 5-1, right? Wasn't that the final? They are en route. Let's see, 15. I'm going to do the math for you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Times 30. So they're at about 480 goals will be scored this year.
Yeah.
109 last year or something. Yeah. This year, 400 and something.
A little something for Hawks fans tonight. Stay tuned to WGN Radio for the game. Both the Hawks and the dreaded, hated, I can't stand them, Toronto's, the Leafs, the Maple Leafs, whatever you want to call them.
The Toronto's, I believe is what they're known as.
The Toronto's. Those guys have both scored 15 goals apiece so far in this two games.
Ro, this is the one night that your living room, when you converted it into like the command control room that looks like the bridge of the Enterprise with the, you know, five TVs, this is going to be the one night when
it all comes in.
Sense. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's true. This is where your DirecTV pay really, it pays off how much you're spending on all that stuff. You know, it's like you got everything going tonight.
And I'm not even going to be home tonight, as it turns out.
Oh, God.
See how stupid
what, you
that
got
is?
A bar mitzvah to go to?
Yeah,
what's
I do.
What's going on a
it's a rare
night.
Columbus Day bar mitzvah.
A lot
of people don't realize
Columbus Day
it's a great bar mitzvah night is Columbus Day because you get in and nobody ever thinks of it.
No. Italian banquet hall.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to. Yeah, Maggiano's the perfect way to go. I'm going to the Bears game. I'm going to go see the Mitchell Trubisky.
Well, that's pretty nice. You just last minute scored some tickets, or you've been working
the
weekend to try to get
sure.
them?
Sure.
I don't know if he's ever told you, but he's kind of a big deal. He can pick up the phone and get tickets.
Well, I know
like
that. But as of last Friday, you weren't going, so I just didn't know what had changed.
Maybe he just didn't tell us. Why aren't you telling us things, Ro?
Because you, especially, are on a need-to-know basis. All right. Let me ask you about about what's happening here with the soda tax. Because what? Mm-hmm. What are they going to do here? Toni Brinkwinkel realizes she's lost the soda tax. They're going to reverse it. She's trying to save something. She's also trying to come up with some sort of rationale for why they did it in the first place. So now they're thinking about taking diet sodas out?
Well, I haven't read the latest on how they're planning to tweak it, but she has realized that she's totally up against a wall, and she's even now admitted that, oh, yeah, this wasn't about health.
Really? It does take time to sometimes get to the truth. I understand.
You all can get fat. That's okay, but I still need the money to keep Cook County government running.
So what is...
This is, I hate to hearken back. This is a very... Todd Stroger moment, isn't it? Just how this whole Cook County tax has been handled. This is the sort of thing that we would report on like every other week when he was the Cook County Board President about, well, you'd hear one thing, then it was actually another thing, and look left, right, oh, down, oh, no, it just came in overhead.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I think in a lot of ways that's true because of because Todd was the last to know. I think it was it's the way that if you want to, when he was Cook County Board President, whoever was doing whatever they were doing, whoever was really running that thing, because it wasn't him, because he was 14, first of all. I think a lot of people didn't realize that. And he had homework to do at night, and he would go home and literally go home and play video games in his basement.
Well, in fairness, that was when the new Nintendo system had just come out.
Yeah,
it, true.
It was distracting, I agree.
So he wasn't really doing any of this. So when he would get it, when people would ask him questions, and he would go, I really don't know. He really didn't know.
But it all harkens the question, what happens next? Because if you have this hugely unpopular soda tax, 90% in some polls of Cook County residents hated this tax, and you still have that
poll,
budget.
By the way, brought to you by the Beverage Association of America. Drink responsibly.
I get it. Yeah, I mean, some of these are slightly slanted, I get. But even the ones that were run by the papers and down and things like that showed an overwhelming majority of people said, you know, we don't like this. But then you still have that budget hole, right? So do you cut 11%, as Toni Preckwinkle says she's going to need to do, or what's the next move?
But isn't that the problem, whether it's the city under Mayor Daley or now Rahm, or the state under Pat Quinn and now Rauner and Madigan, or Cook County government, is nobody's really being honest about the root causes. I mean, Rauner gets points for saying, hey, this is a broken system, which is a provable fact. But nobody has really come up with a solution, something that's workable. And that's part of the reason why you keep seeing these one-offs, which is, oh, well, you know, let's do a soda tax, and, oh, let's do red light cameras, and et cetera, et cetera.
You know, I got to stop you for just a second here, and I agree with everything you're saying, but I want to just add to it, because I know that you got to go run and do your little TV job. But here's something that I am sick and tired of hearing come out of the county board, that And we're responsible for law enforcement and medical. And that's all we do. And it's true that a big part of the budget of the county is the Cook County State's Attorney's Office, the courts, the jail, right, and the sheriff's office. But they also have the park police, right?
The Forest Preserve Police.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Which I don't know why you need to have both the Forest Preserve Police and the Sheriff's Office.
Your friend Tom Dart has suggested many times, let's roll that into the Sheriff's Office.
It does make a ton of sense.
That's somebody's little fiefdom, though.
Right? Yep. There's money to be made
in fishing bodies out of the Forest Preserve.
If you gave me 90 minutes, I would be able to give you your 20% back.
You would. You think there's that much waste that it's just easy to redline it?
Oh, my God.
Get in there and boom, boom, boom.
You remember, I'm going to credit, another news organization, but Fox 32, mm-hmm. right? They did all that.
Never seen them.
They did that, the 24/9 contract stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Right?
That was Dane Placco did an amazing job with a series of reports that just uncovered one thing after another.
That's how we learned that the rap group Dude and M... was able to get $24,900 from the county to go out and hand out leaflets or something or another.
And that number was very specific because it was just under the amount that had to be bid out. The
right.
system was rigged.
24/9, and so they were just kept handing money out to people. Mm-hmm. It was a political favor for people, for folks. I mean, there is. I'm telling you, I'll get you your 20%. It's gonna cost jobs. There's no question about it, and there will be some community impact. But at some point, you do have to pay the piper. And the question is, are we all, by lying to us and telling us that this is about health, which it is not.
Right.
And everyone saw that.
And when you're taxing bottled water and saying it's about health.
Right. Well,
you're lying.
Yes. Well,
that's about the environment.
To pay less tax on a Reese's candy bar.
Right.
But real quickly, until the people who feel this way actually vote, it doesn't matter. Right now, especially in Chicago, especially in Cook County, in the Democratic primaries, the main people who are voting are the people who have a vested interest in the system remaining status quo.
Right. Because people don't vote for the county because they don't understand it.
Right.
It's time now to start to understand it and figure it out. Right.
It's been about a dozen years ago.
I can name a commissioner I know because I've known him my whole life. That's the only way I can name a commissioner.
Hit the dinger for John Fritchie.
Right. There you go. There's it for John Fritchie. I know John Daly because he was the mayor of the Brothers mayor.
Okay.
I know him. And it stops right about there.
Boykin?
Yeah,
yes,
Boykin. I know him.
Okay.
With the voice.
Right? County commissioners for 500, please.
Yes, right, exactly.
Liz Duty, right?
Isn't there? Do I have that right?
I don't think she's on the county board anymore. You have Sean Morrison.
I don't
keep up. All right, thank you, Ben. We'll see you tonight at 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10.
Sounds good. Have fun at the game.
All right, thanks very much. All right, let us now find out what Kim Gordon's working on. The WGN is in 2 minutes.
Nick.
Rob Khan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN. She's one of our favorites. She's A.B. Stoddard. Mm-hmm. She's from Real Clear Politics. She's the only person who makes things real clear, and I think has a clear mind, that I have met that it has anything to do with Washington, D.C.
So true.
Yeah. I mean, I have had it up to here. And you know what, A.B., I can't even show you where my hand is right now because it would be inappropriate. But I have had it up to here right now with what I am seeing and hearing coming out of Washington. You've written a very interesting piece. People should go to realclearpolitics.com and read the post that posted on Friday. That's when you see the AB stuff come out about how the two-party system is in peril and it needs to be rebuilt from the center out, which I think is that's the practical and correct path here. It's not fun. And America now only seems interested in things that are fun. Donald Trump is fun, right? Republican craziness is fun.
It seems like Real Housewives going on with Ivana's recent interview.
Yes.
That's fun.
Bernie Sanders, he's fun. We are now victims of the entertainment world cross-pollinating with the political world. Your
I
thoughts.
Know. I'm going to disagree with you on just one thing. I think Bernie is so unfun, but you're right. I've been to Bernie campaign rallies, and I've seen people who are 23 like crying and saying he's so cute, like he's some kind of
right.
puppy dog.
Right.
So you're right. I mean, there's just something everyone needs to feel attached in some way that's more exciting than just, you know, the importance of governance, which is it sounds like a dull message, but I think we've reached a point in 2017 where it's so extremely nutty that I'm surprised by the polling that I'm seeing about how many Americans, you know, over 60% just don't, more than 60% don't think the parties are functioning anymore. And I see them breaking, you know, into four parties. I mean, a Bernie party and then more of a free trade, democratic, business-friendly coalition. And then, you know, like Bernie's like a socialist, whatever he is, free everything. And then I see, you know, the Bannon wing, which is sort of immigration hawk, populist nationalism, anti-trade, and blow everything up, and you know, very pro-conspiracy theory and all that mm-hmm. other stuff, post-fact.
Yeah.
And then, you know, this kind of rhino wing, as the Republicans are now known, who want to govern, who are more free trade. And
they have a lot of coalescence with the Democrats that you're talking about there. And because, first of all, a lot of them are, you know, longstanding personages, as we like to say, American persons. They are longstanding persons in Washington, as are the Democrats who do. They know how to play the game. They know how to get things done. And they remember when things were a little bit different. But what has happened here, what had happened was social media, the internet, the ability of people to silo along just an ideal that may be very specific ideal, but it touches a couple of other ideals, and everybody can, you know, kind of get together in these loose affiliations, and then they can get on social media and share stories that they have written, or the Russians have written, or somebody else has written, and they just feed each other in these echo chambers, and we don't have people talking to each other and actually debating. That's why I thought yesterday was interesting. On ABC on this morning, on the Sunday ABC show,
mm-hmm. George Stephanopoulos,
they had they sat down actually in a kitchen. I mean, this is what, in Martha Raddatz's kitchen.
Oh.
And she took a Republican and a Democrat mm-hmm. on gun control, right? And they're both military guys. One was, the Democrat was a Marine, and the Republican was a Navy SEAL. And they both had different views on gun control, but they sat around her kitchen table and they had a debate about it, because it was really one of those, it was a simplistic thing, but I think it was very powerful, because it's about two guys on the opposite side having a conversation, trying mm-hmm. to come up with a consensus and then doing something.
And were
about
they
it.
Shouting at each other? Were the little
tense
shouting?
At moments?
Tense.
But then,
right,
then they shook hands and they agreed.
But the whole one of the points that you made in your column, AB, that I loved, is that you're saying this: the center has politically homeless, and that people are craving a third party. And yet, after talking to Gary Johnson and how, you know, before his campaign blew up,
oh god,
he talked about how difficult it is and how much money it takes, and the third party is it's almost a system built up so that we don't have a third party, that it doesn't happen.
Right. And so that's why I'm not making a case for a third party now. I'm making just a case for a center to be there again. And partisans from both sides can actually come into that center, but that's where the compromises are made, and that's where the governing is. Mm-hmm. And those two guys you described having a gun control debate, they actually were willing to respect that there was another viewpoint and sit and listen to each other. And what you see now, what you're describing about, you know, I get on my Facebook page and an algorithm has chosen what story will make me the most mad and hate the other side the most, is not getting us to governance. It's getting us to almost near government shutdown, almost defaults on debt ceiling, increased debates, and really nothing else. No one's doing any problem solving. So what I'm writing about is, you know, if the third party thing is sort of far off, but if you can just admit that the two parties now are failing so badly, you can crawl to the center if you're willing to have a debate about problem solving, and we can actually come to some interesting, you know, compromises. Look, not many of us are willing to sit there and listen. And I'm looking for, I'm calling on leaders in both parties, and there are some of them. There are not enough of them, but who want to come and speak to this anger that a majority of Americans feel about the failure of both parties and the, if you don't lose, then I haven't won politics.
Right. It's not so important that you succeed, but your enemies fail. And that's that. Yes. It was a rule I learned from a talk show host years and years and years ago, which is, of course, what part of the problem is talk radio. It has caused part of the problem.
It's your fault.
And I think in some ways it might be. There is something, you know, you said crawling to the middle. For these politicians to crawl to the middle, the way they have to crawl is under gunfire. Right. Mm-hmm. They got to do that tactical thing where they're on the ground and they're doing the army crawl because they got to get underneath the gunfire of the people on social media. And it's not a gigantic number of people. I mean, most Americans, they walk up and down the street and they're whistling. Right. And they're like, I don't know. Yeah, whatever. It's the activists. It always has been. It's the loudest voices. Often the loudest voices are the least informed. I have found that to be true over my years. And or at least agenda informed, right? They don't want to listen to the other side.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so they're very well schooled on their own position, I should say. That's probably the best way to say that. And then there is no other way around to get back into a debate about what will actually work. You know, it's interesting that this bump stock thing, right? That's everybody, like last week, everybody's like, yeah, including the NRA. Yeah.
Sure,
but then
they
go, but you know what they're doing is that the people, I think on both sides are like, hey, we're just going to say this till we get far enough and then boom, you know, well, people will forget about this in a couple of months and we won't have to actually worry about it. And I think that's where a lot of this governance is. Now, let me ask you this really quickly before we let you go, because I know you got to run, Bob Corker. This is crazy. This is, you got Bob Corker, yeah, who was once considered as a vice presidential candidate, also as, I believe, as a secretary of state, right? I
mean, that's what the president says.
He was a guy that was, he was one of the first mainline Republicans to say Donald Trump is okay, he's going to be fine.
He very much helped the president out when he was a nominee. And in the, you know, in the end of the campaign, even though he didn't initially support him. And I would like your listeners to know that Bob Corker went out of his way to form a relationship with Jared Kushner, the son-in-law, who's apparently supposed to solve Middle East peace and all these other things. He made a relationship with Ivanka Trump. He really was serving as sort of providing guidance and advice to the family, and really was playing a supportive role for Donald Trump and his family to sort of get them through this transition to governance and was trying, he would say, even if he didn't agree with foreign policy decisions, national security decisions, that he just wanted to be there for them. He really is the last person to run to the mic and go for the soundbite and do any trash talking. So it's for him to reach this threshold and for him to basically claim that behind the madman there's no strategy is really a dramatic statement. And what it will do to his fellow Republicans in months to come is just unknown. I mean, they will all be forced to address this issue of Trump's temperament now that Corker has blown this open.
Right, because basically he's calling the president dangerous to America and to the world.
Yes.
And
he says he needs, I mean, basically what he told us yesterday is he needs a minder.
Right. Yeah, right. It's an adult daycare.
Yes.
Pretty good burn.
Yeah.
All right, AB, hopefully we'll be around on Friday to talk to you again. All right, thanks.
Thanks, AB. Always good to hear from you.
All right, AB Stoddard, Real Clear Politics. Really great read right there. All right, right now, Violetta Pydermatic, WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. Yep, it's Blackhawks time tonight.
Here come the Hawks, the mighty Blackhawks.
And that means that Blackhawks Pick'em is back, a game that is undecipherable.
Yes.
Right now, we actually need those guys. Remember that movie that was about decoding the secret messages of the Japanese during World War II?
We could use some help from them
Germans,
right now.
Right. I mean, that was that we actually need those master decoders. We actually need those ladies, the black ladies who helped the space program. We need them
perfect.
To be able to explain this to us. Very, very
really
famous.
Smart people.
We need a player right now. 312-981-7200. Caller number 19. 312-981-7200. Got to be a Blackhawks fan. Or maybe not. Because Violetta was able to come in like third in this.
No, she tied for third.
Tied for third. Which was last, as it turned out. But you are going to go first in this now after our contestant.
Oh, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm. Kevin goes second. The crowd loves that idea.
They're cheering. They're cheering for the Hawks pick 'em. Everybody's really excited about
and for Kevin going second.
Yeah,
Anna is going to go third.
Yep.
And then Kim, who's hasn't played yet. She's got no score, but I'm going to let her go. Then I'll go.
All right. I have to be second to last?
Yeah, you do. Sorry. It's a hard game to get into. You're only playing for 1 week. Judy will be back next week. God bless us all. And keep us. Now, Richard Roper played for us last week.
Mm-hmm. He picked all goalies.
And he picked all the goalies.
How'd he do?
He did not do well. He actually did come in last.
So don't pick all the goalies.
He would be first. No, I think you should pick whatever you'd like.
Okay.
whatever you think is going to work. Now, two players are out here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So one of them is a goalie. It's a changing goalie. You got Forsberg is going to start tonight. Anton Forsberg is starting for Crawford. But this is about point totals, right? Whoever gets the most points, these players would have to either have a goal or an assist.
Mm-hmm.
Although I would like to play penalty time is what I would like to do. I'd like to one of these weeks, who's going to have the most amount of penalty minutes?
Which position typically does a lot of scoring?
It's up to you.
Just pick names that you like.
Right.
That always works in NCAA tournament mm-hmm. picks for me.
Right. It depends on how you define scoring. I mean, like goals or assists.
Okay. I was like, what do you mean by that? What do you mean?
I think you know what I mean.
I think I do.
All right, Debbie? All right, this is our contestant right here. Debbie, you are on WGN. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you a Hawks fan?
Yes, I am.
Oh, God bless you. All right, very good. All right, I need you to pick three Chicago Blackhawks players.
Three Blackhawk players?
That you think are going to score the most.
Yeah.
Patrick Kane.
Okay.
I don't know what the other guys... I know...
A gigantic fan. Although she's going to win this. I can tell already.
That's how it works.
All right.
Any other names come to mind? You want us to help you with the roster?
Yeah. Can you help me?
You know, Jonathan Taves. You like him?
Okay.
No, she doesn't even know. Do you know who he is?
The captain?
Yes, I do.
Oh, yeah. Do you like
19?
Him?
Yes,
I think
do.
You should take him.
What about Tommy Wingles from Evanston, Illinois?
Yeah, where are you? You like him, too?
Yes.
Okay, Tommy Wingles. All right. I see. You know what you did there? You just gave her a handicap. Anna is kind of tricky because Anna's like, she's so sweet and so nice, but she's got, you don't want to bet against her. She's always got a thing. All right, Debbie, hold on, all right?
I think Debbie will do great with those picks, actually.
All right, Kane, Taves, and Wingles. All right, Violetta, your turn.
Well, okay, I'm going Saad, mm-hmm. Sharp, and Keith.
Oh, gosh.
All right, fine. Did someone help you with that?
Well, no, but the caller really makes me seem like a really professional hockey player.
Well, you are around the team. You know,
yeah,
you're
part of hear it a lot.
You're part of the team's mojo. All right, Kevin.
Kevin, you got your picks.
All right, I've got Richard Panik, Ryan Hartman, and Artem Anisimov.
Oh.
The crowd obviously really liking my picks.
Yeah, those are good picks, Kev.
All right, Anna.
Who's left? Let's see. We got Alex DeBrincat. I'll take him.
Oh, good. All right.
Did you want him?
None of your business who I wanted.
Did anyone say Hartman yet?
Yep.
Oh, geez. Let's say John Hayden.
John Hayden. All right.
And
these people, no one actually knows who they are. But yes, go ahead.
Brent Seabrook.
Seabrook. Oh, Siege.
Sorry.
All right. I have no chance here. All right, Kim?
All right, I got to go Schmaltz.
He's not playing. He's out.
Schmaltz is out? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
We should never do this on the air.
Let's go Jerko.
Jerko. Oh, okay.
Jerko.
That's Jerko.
Jerko, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Murphy.
Murphy.
And then I'll go Forsling.
Forsling. Not Forsberg. Forsling.
Yeah. He's number 42.
Yeah, that's very confusing, actually.
Gustav
Forsling, yes.
Great I mean, what a, yeah.
From Linköping, Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Linköping is even greater.
Oh, I thought Linköping? You were speaking Swedish. I'm like, what'd you say? Linköping.
You didn't know.
I love those berries. You get them on the pancakes, right? I know how that goes.
Delicious.
All right. And so I'm going to go with Lance Bouma. Uh-huh. Or do you say Bouma?
It's Bouma.
Uh-huh.
But either way.
Booms.
Booms. Right. Booms.
Boomer.
Oh, Booms. They pronounce Booms anyway.
Bowlers.
Just go with that.
Lancer.
Yeah, Lancer. Okay. Tanner Caro, because I don't think anybody's taken him yet.
Nobody has.
All right.
What about my guy, Jan?
Wait, he's already been taken.
Oh.
Oh, wait, no. Oh, yeah, no. Jan Ruta. Yeah, I am going to take him, actually, because he did something good last week.
And it's not Jan.
It's not Jan Ruta. It's Jan Ruta. Mm-hmm. All right, well, there we go. We got them all.
Okay.
All right, Debbie, congratulations.
Off to a good
yep,
start.
There we go. All right, next time we won't do this on the air. All right.
I thought that was a lot of fun. This game is stimulating.
Uh-huh.
It's a fast pace, just like hockey.
Fast pace.
And
yeah. You want
skill involved here.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You got to be quick on your feet. You have to have strong ankles. I don't have strong ankles for this game.
Keep your head on
a
swivel.
You have to survive the roll part of it all, which is hard to do.
Yeah. All right.
Just getting through that.
Kev, you all right out there?
I'm good. Crowd got my back. They like my picks.
They seem to be very interesting. Anybody want to play Magic 8-Ball with Kev's audience here?
Yes, let's do it. Oh, they're
no,
not excited.
They don't want us to do that. Yeah.
They're not into it.
I have a question for the Magic 8-Ball crowd at Wrigley.
Okay.
Okay. Where are we in the game? Let me see.
Fourth inning.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Is Trubisky going to rock tonight for the Bears?
Wait for it.
I think. Oh.
Oh no.
That was a mixed reaction.
There you go.
All right. They like the idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a delay.
They're into it.
They like the idea.
It.
All right.
Okay. That was suspenseful.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
They made you work for it.
Yeah. Yeah. They were like, I don't know. Okay, let's give it to her.
Yes.
Okay, ask it another one. All right, I got
no,
it.
No, I don't think we can now. I think it's in between innings. So yes. I think we're going to have to. I think they're. Unless you're going to hear people go, Beer Man, got your beer here. Ice cold, Bud Light.
You interpret that however you want based on the question you ask.
Yeah.
Hey, there's the Beer Man. Right as you say that, he walks by me.
Well,
right?
He heard you.
Is he one of the fancy beers? Is he, or
no,
is he
he's
Bud Light?
He's your classic Bud Light, Budweiser situation.
Bud Light, okay.
Just the beer diesel fuel.
Beer prices, do they go up for the playoffs, or would they?
I think they stay the same. Ridiculously overpriced.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Regardless,
I agree.
Oh, but you do get 16 ounces, though. I mean, you got that
going
for you.
That's a good point.
I didn't know that.
It's a good amount of ounces.
Yeah, 16's good, right? Anything 16.
I barely drink
good.
That much water a day, so
right.
I
know.
Can get it in a beer.
Well, why would you? Because you know what fish do in the water. There's no reason to do that. Our Wine Whisperer is going to be here, by the way, coming
up. It's a good day.
To get us ready for beer, actually.
I was wondering if you're going to be running to Binny's and stocking up on all your Pinot Noir and things like that.
Yeah, well, for the holidays. You know
for
how
football,
I roll.
You know.
Yes, exactly.
For football. 16-ouncer.
I am not above that.
Oh, I know.
All right. Here we go. On the other side of Violetta's traffic, we do have to. The battle of the first lady versus the ex-wife. This is a great story, if you've not heard this yet today.
Andy Cohn has already offered to moderate a panel with the wives for the a la Real Housewives style.
How many translators would be involved in
a
this?
A lot. Because it turns out that Melania and Ivana do not speak the same language.
And only one of them is the first lady.
And she'll have you know that.
She'll have you know it.
All that coming to you. But first, Violetta's got the WGN traffic trouble spots.
Don't forget tonight, Monday Night Football. It's on WGN-TV. Bears, Vikings, Trubisky kickoff, 7 o'clock, followed by the pregame. I'm sorry, following WGN-TV Sports Monday Night pregame tonight at 6:30.
All right.
Switch to Mitch.
Before we get to the battle of the first ladies.
Yeah.
It's actually first lady versus ex-wife is what it is.
Well, she says she's the first lady, though, the ex-wife.
I should be first lady.
I am first lady.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I am first lady.
The married two men.
First Trump wife, first
mm-hmm.
lady.
Mm-hmm. We'll get to that. But first, let's just check in with Hogue real fast here as we get ready for the Bears tonight. Any other important things we need to know about in terms of the injury report?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a couple big hits on defense this week. Obviously, we know that Danny Trevathan is suspended for this game, and that's a big loss. But Willie Young, season-ending injury, so apparently suffered in practice last week. And, I mean, I'm not sure Willie was playing at the level that maybe he had the last couple of seasons, but he's still, you know, a big loss.
Yeah, and then who else?
The rotation. Well, that's pretty much it this week.
Okay, good. Woo!
I mean,
Better than we thought.
How about, but you know, it's very important because this is a team that everybody agrees needs to be able to run the ball, even though, you know, in Mitchell we trust. There is one little problem there is he doesn't have receivers, so obviously you're going to have to fix that up. Is everybody healthy there?
Yeah, they are now. I mean, Marcus Wheaton's back there. And
no, I'm talking about running backs.
Oh, running back. Yeah. Sorry, I thought you were talking about the receivers. Yeah. No, I mean, I think Jordan Howard's still sort of dealing with that shoulder. It's an AC joint sprain in that shoulder, but it's getting better every single week and getting the 10 days off here. He's not even on the injury report. He'll be good to go. So, I mean, it's something to continue to watch. But otherwise, I mean, he's fine and he's going to play. And, you know, I think that is an area where at least the Bears are healthy.
And Tariq Cohen also. Okay.
Yeah. No problems there. It's incredibly, as many shots as that kid takes and how little he is.
I know. I don't know.
He's
how
tiny.
He just bounces back. He's like a weeble, you know.
Weeble, yeah. And wobble, but they don't fall down.
Does not fall down. All right. And then the receivers seem healthy. That's all. I'm just trying to get an injury report here for my bettors.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know this is a weird thing that usually I come on and all it is injuries.
Yes. But good. Now, let's talk about the other side here because Sam Bradford is back for the Vikings. Mm-hmm. And is Sam Bradford 100% as quarterback?
No, I don't think he is, but I think he's, first of all, Sam Bradford's not mobile to begin with. And now he's, you know, still hobbled by that knee. I don't think he's going to be completely 100%, but he is expected to play. So I think that is something to continue to watch throughout the game, because if he's not able to move around very well, then you would think the Bears defensive front seven, which has been playing pretty well, can get after him.
All right. Thank you. Adam Hogue, enjoy the game.
All right.
Hopefully we all will. Hopefully.
It's going to be exciting. Oh, gosh, I'm kind of nervous for him.
Donald Trump's first wife, Ivana Trump, says she has a direct number to the White House.
Mm-hmm.
She turned down the ambassadorship to the Czech Republic.
She says she has a very nice life. Why would you want that?
And takes full credit for raising the couple's three children.
Well, that part might be true.
How often do you two talk?
Talk about once a 14 days. I have the direct number to White House, but I don't really want to call him there because Melania is there, and I don't want to cause any kind of jealousy or something like that because I'm basically first Trump wife, okay? I'm first lady, okay?
See, she said it in jest, and it's really being reported. Like she said, I'm really the first lady, you know? But she's saying she's the first wife, and therefore she's...
She's the first wife, yes.
First wife and the first lady. She is the first lady because of she being the first wife.
Yeah. What now?
Melania's not having it, though.
Yes. What did Melania do now?
She had her official spokesperson, Stephanie Grisham, spokesperson for the first lady, issue an official statement on White House
stationery. I'd like to hear this now. Yep. All right, here we go.
Should we pronounce the W's or no? Yeah,
no W's in here.
W's or V's. Mrs. Trump has made the White House a home for Barron and the president. She loves living in Washington, D.C. and is honored by her role as First Lady of the United States. She plans to use her title and role to help children not sell books. I didn't know that there was that allegation out there, apparently.
Yeah, because there's a book, Raising Trump, is the book that Ivana has just written. So she's out selling books. That's why she did this CBS Sunday Morning show. And this what we just played was from Good Morning America this morning.
Ooh, okay. There's only one more sentence here. Two more sentences. There is clearly no substance to the statement from an ex. Unfortunately, only attention-seeking and self-serving noise. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think the best thing, though, is when she took the shot at Marla Maples in the interview. She doesn't even say her name. She won't even say her name. She refers to her as the showgirl.
Then he married as the showgirl.
Who she blames for breaking up her marriage. So
here you go. This is what it sounded like.
Marla Maples?
Well, I don't want to talk about the showgirl.
In fact, you don't even refer to her by name in your book.
Yes.
You just call her...
Showgirl.
The showgirl.
Yes.
Was that the final straw?
Yes, that was. Because if your trust is broken, trust for me, it's everything.
Mm-hmm. You think Marla Maples was the first woman that Donald Trump had sex with in that marriage? Do you think?
She's the showgirl.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Okay. There you have it. Showgirl. This is why that poor Tiffany Trump, man. That's, you know, of all the kids.
Yes.
That's the one that, I mean, obviously, Barron, he's totally off limits here, but he's, you know, I think he's got a very strong mom who is doing as good a job as she can in protecting him in the most unusual circumstances you can have.
Yeah, that's you know, it's right. A privilege to be there. It's an honor to be there. And yet for a kid, that's a lot of scrutiny.
It's neither for a kid. It's neither a privilege nor an honor for a kid because they didn't ask for it. But it is probably too much in a lot of ways for the kid. You talk to any of the kids who've gone through it. However, this Tiffany Trump, I mean, she has to ride in her own limousine. The three kids don't like her. Melania doesn't like her. There's no getting around this.
Well, there's the story that surfaced recently, too, that Donald Trump, when he was not president, gave an interview to Howard Stern. And, you know, he likes to tell Howard Stern everything.
Yes.
He mentioned, yeah, well, you know, Ivanka and Donald were apparently caught up in a battle trying to take Tiffany Trump out of the will and not to get as much inheritance money and that kind of thing. So he revealed that. And those tapes, of course, came out again.
Okay.
So there you go.
It's fun.
Poor Tiffany.
It's fun. It's always, you know what? It's always fun. We wish everybody the best of luck in this. All the wives and the... Yeah, where's Marla Maples when you need her? She's got to write a book.
She's got very quiet.
Well, she doesn't have much to say. They weren't married that long. Melania saw to that, right? I mean,
or Donald Trump saw to that, I guess, right? He's the one who decided to move on. But
yeah, but I think that, well, yeah, but you think Marla would have stuck in for that?
Well, actually, that's funny because Ivana does address that in the interview, too. She said that Donald would get 1,000 business cards or phone numbers in his pocket, and he could choose anyone he wanted to, was her opinion. But I didn't know anything about the showgirl and whatever. He went for her. No bitterness there.
Mm-hmm. See, I win the contest. I become first lady. So it is, what do I get now? You know what was the most amazing thing last week? Was when he was standing up there, the president was standing up there with all the generals around him, and he did that whole thing, we'll see, calm before the storm. What storm are you talking about, Mr. President?
Yeah.
You'll see.
North Korea, or what are you talking about?
When he was doing that. And you know, and here is his wife, Melania, standing next to him, who is looking like she's at the Golden Globes, right? She's like looking at all the cameras, waiting for the flashes to go off. And she's got nothing. She can't do anything about this. And you know, she's a sharp cookie. You can tell.
I would say she is. Yeah. I mean, she speaks five languages. And she did get to the top of the modeling world. And you find that the people who do that.
I wouldn't say that's true. Well, she get to the top of the modeling world.
She was very successful as a model. Very successful as a model. Mm-hmm. And, you know, made a nice living for herself doing that. And it feels like the ones who are able to do that or have discipline and a degree of smarts and a business sense.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the...
Yeah, we've seen that on Project Runway. But that's...
No,
that
they're
is...
not at the top. I mean, you look at Cindy Crawford, okay, studied engineering at Northwestern. Claudia Schiffer, not a dumb person. I mean, you go through the list of people who really... Yeah, there's some exceptions, but at least... And maybe they're not splitting atoms, but at some point...
I think she's smart. I think we're in agreement on that. The question is, what is she thinking while he's blundering himself into World War III and she's standing next to him? I mean, what is she thinking?
You'd like to know her thought bubble.
Right. Her thought bubble is, must get the kid to, must bring boy downstairs to situation room immediately. I mean, it's like, what do you do? And he's up there, you know, preening and doing all that stuff that she probably can't stand anymore. Was attractive at one point, but now the stuff that was attractive, it drives you nuts. Right. And that's what's driving her nuts when he's up there, you know, making stuff up and trying to draw attention to himself.
She just wants to get through these years and put it under her belt as a success.
And then to get out.
Yeah.
Then take a boy, get out.
Which might have been the plan all along.
Right. Right. She got her investment. Her investment has returned. She now gets 1/5 of everything. Unless, of course, Don Jr., Eric, and Ivanka
right.
can cut her out, unless that can happen. All right, here we go. WGN News coming your way with Kim Gordon, 2 minutes. Concho with Anna DeVlantzis right here, 720 WGN.
great sports day for Chicago. We're talking beer. Which
beer,
is perfect.
Beer bears. And bears. Bears and bears. And beer. That's how that's really going to go right mm-hmm. there. All right. Now we have the Wine Whisperer, as I call her. I don't know. She's
amazing.
She's got a lot of skill, a lot of mastery here.
Hey, Ro. Hey.
And
how's it going?
This is Kristen Ellis, and you can hear her along with our own Jeff Carlin on a podcast that they've got that is Barrel to Bottle mm-hmm. is what it's called, and it's a very special thing. If you are interested in anything alcoholic, including this host, mm-hmm. then you should be listening to this podcast.
No question.
And today, because it is, we're in the fall. We're in the teeth of Oktoberfest, and we are getting ready for, you know, football season and the holidays and stuff like that. And beers are the new wines, right? Isn't that true?
I don't know about that.
I know. Didn't you just get another sommelier level? Didn't you just do something?
I'm well on my way. Thank you. Yeah. Another test.
What's
under
the next
belt.
Level?
And I'm actually in the Wine and Spirit Education Trust. I'm not mm-hmm. a SOM, which is, kind of hard to describe sometimes. But yeah, I do WSET, and I'm in the final vestiges of that certification process called Diploma. So almost done. Getting
what
there.
What is that? I mean, imagine. Now, that's the kind of school I want to go to right
Boom.
There.
I know, exactly.
So that
How
goes
do you get
out.
To do that?
Well, thanks for talking about the podcast, Ro.
You're
we
welcome.
We are super, super happy with it so far. It's Good. A lot of fun. It's a labor of love. So Barrel to Bottle with Binny's Beverage Depot is super great so far. Four episodes down and taping tonight, actually.
Oh, look at the two of you.
Do you sip it while you're talking about it? Is
of
that,
course
that's
we
be part
do.
Of it. Okay.
See, it's legal to do that.
It's why we tape at night, Anna. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I see what's going on. And you brought a friend with
I
you.
I did. This is Patrick Brophy. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Kristen. Hey, Ro.
Hey, Pat. This is very NPR-ish.
Hi,
this is the way we do it on NPR.
Good night, Ro. And then, good night, Anna.
And
good night,
then
guys.
We met Patrick Brophy. Hello.
Hello.
Hello,
Patrick.
Hello.
Hello,
all
everyone.
All right. Now, you're the beer guy here? Is that what I'm assuming?
I am the beer guy
dude,
here, yes.
Dude, don't you see his beard? He's
yeah.
obviously
I mean,
the beer guy.
Long beard
Were you?
Beer
are you
guy.
A bartender, too?
No, actually.
But you have the bartender beard. I don't know how do you get away with it.
Well, you know, I've served drinks on...
Okay,
because
the bartender beard though yours is a little mountain manish for the bartender. Bartender tends to put wax and stuff like
that's right,
that.
Yeah, he needs to have that tailored mustache, you know, out to his elbows kind of thing.
I don't know what that's all about.
Neither
though,
do
man.
I.
That's
you
just,
could do
I
that.
I straddle
thing.
The line between hipster and showering.
You know? I like that. All right, so let's talk about the beers that we have here because this is an important thing for people who are interested because beer is really because I. Been going to Binny's, you know, in all of its iterations, mm-hmm. basically all of my life. And with my parents, you know, as a kid, you know, there's nothing like a trip to the liquor store with your parents when you're a little kid. And you can't have any of it, but you know they're loving it. So there's that. And then, it just kind of goes on from there. You know, there's lost marriages and things like that. But whatever, that's what happens. So here is the observation I made, which is I used to go to the beer section of Binny's, and it was like, you know, an aisle or two. Right. And then the wine was, is the curvature of the earth. As far as you could see, there was wine and there was liquor. Now, beer is maybe half, three quarters the size of the wine. I mean, there's that much of it.
Yeah. Right.
What's that all about? What happened there?
Well, Pat can probably
speak
better
all about,
than I can,
man.
But I think it's just blown up. It
well,
started with
yeah.
Sam
I mean,
Adams, as far as I'm concerned, and then
well,
just went
kinda,
from there.
Sam Adams gets a lot of credits here in Nevada back in the early 80s, and there was a huge micro beer boom in the United States in the early to mid-90s.
But they can't all be good because everybody was making it in their garage, and that stuff was not good.
Correct, and it led to kind of a bubble burst. And we're in the late 90s. We had hundreds of breweries go out of business, and then kind of big beer took over again. And then in the early, what do we call it, aughts, early 2000s?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Craft brewing really came back into its own in this kind of category of extreme beer was born with beer with high bitterness, high alcohol, beer aging in bourbon barrels, brandy barrels, which we'll taste one today, actually, stuff like that. And that's where it's really kind of clawed its way back up, and now it's just taken over. We're just clawing space from wine and liquor and anybody we can get it from.
That's right. I don't envy these guys during inventory at our stores.
Heavier.
It's just thousands of bottles they have to count.
A lot of different beer in the store now.
So many different ones.
Yeah, it's very
But confusing. It's fun because it gives you a lot of different things to explore. You know, it's never ending.
That's
always,
true.
A year and
always
not
have
the same
a new beer
twice. I mean, unless you're really, really drinking beer,
then you should really look in the mirror. I think
You got a different separate problem.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I've been told that a number of times. All right, let's start. What do we got here?
All right, we have our favorite kind of fall, summer to fall transitional beers.
Oh, you got
to
have that.
These beers that are a great way to segue from those hoppy, bitter, kind of more light-bodied, easy-drinking beers into something a little more malty without being over-the-top heavy. I mean, we're not preparing for a minus 40 degree here, but we're getting a little more seasonal
okay,
adjusted.
What do we got?
So we have Oktoberfest beers. Well, the first one you have here, AY or Eyinger, is Eyinger Oktoberfest Marzen. This is the gold standard that mm-hmm. all other Oktoberfest beers are judged. This is the classic German example. It's got a bit of sweet maltiness to it, a little bit of an herbaceous hop character.
Herbaceous hop character.
Sounds great.
Yeah, and it's meant for drinking more than one.
And it just tastes like fall, actually, when you taste it. It's just
but
really
it's
good.
Not too heavy, which I don't like in beer when they're uh-huh. so heavy they weigh you down, you know, make your belly feel.
It has the malty sweetness, and, but it's not thick and exactly. syrupy like kind of December, January Imperial Stout kind of stuff. But it's
malty.
Well,
don't malty get you that. Whoa. Don't wish away the fall. We got enough trouble with the winter. Let's stay autumnal right now. Let's have a positive attitude about this.
All right. Well, I have more beer.
Slow this up. All right. Here we go.
More beer.
Next up is Urban Chestnut Oakats. Urban Chestnut is arguably one of America's greatest lager breweries. We have some pretty good ones in town here too. Mm-hmm. These guys are out of St. Louis. Really wonderful, classically styled Oktoberfest lager. Light. A little more crisp, a little less sweetness than that first one you tried. A little more balance. Really, really drinkable beer.
Mm. That is so good.
Drinkability. Excellent. That's what we like in our beers.
Added bonus of a can, the whole lid comes off so you can, you know.
Oh,
get
really?
More, get
oh.
more at once.
Oh, fun.
I love that sound.
Like that,
I still love that sound.
You take the whole thing beer. Off like a pudding pack?
Right,
that kind
oh,
of thing?
That's exactly right. Yeah. Yep.
Anything I can do to relate beer drinking to pudding is a plus.
Together they're kind of nice, aren't they?
Yeah, I like that. All right. I think you have an A. And an A minus here. I'm going to go. I'm not going to tell you in what order,
right.
though.
Ooh,
yeah.
Though you want to arm wrestle, huh? Mm-hmm. That's I call that an A plus.
Mm-hmm. All right.
He loves it, but you give it your A.
Next up is from Sierra Nevada. Okay. Sierra Nevada, everyone knows well. Mm-hmm. Only for now the third year in a row, they've been brewing an Oktoberfest beer. They brew it in collaboration with a different family-owned small German brewery every year. So this recipe does change every year. This year's
they're
is
using the recipe,
house.
But they're doing it here.
They are doing it here, yes. Yeah. They are collaborating on the recipe. They are meeting of the minds type of thing.
Got it.
This year was with Brauhaus Miltenberger, which is a small German brewery I never heard of until they made this beer with Sierra Nevada, and otherwise unavailable in the United States. Very great traditional example here. Clean, crisp, refreshing. Yep. Definitely a beer you can drink the better part of a six-pack of.
Super light. Six-pack challenge.
A+.
Oh. A+?
A+.
Really? Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think so, too.
That's what I like to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
All right, next up, one for the opposite end of the fall beer spectrum. We have a pumpkin beer.
Oh, God.
Not just
pumpkin.
Any
what?
Pumpkin beer, bro.
Why?
Smell it, though. It actually smells really good.
Let me explain something here. The pumpkin is a disgusting tuber, is what it is. It has absolutely no... The pumpkin spice is every other spice. The pumpkin
except
doesn't
pumpkin.
Have a spice. It's got a seed, yeah. and it's got mush, and you stick your hands in it, and it feels like you're sticking your hands in brains.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like with seeds.
But then you cinnamony up and put little spices in it, and somehow...
Let me try it.
Try it again.
All right.
Just give it a shot.
This is Lakefront's Brandy Barrel Aged Pumpkin Ale. Lakefront's in...
Oh, so this is a brandy barrel,
yes.
right?
Ooh.
Okay.
The way you make
flavor.
Pumpkin ale, more Wisconsin, aging in a brandy barrel. And so it has more of that kind of toasted oak caramelization to it, a little bit of vanilla bean in there.
Wow.
Really nice beer.
You liking it?
Yeah. All right. So I take back what I said. But I don't like it. But it's still not pumpkin. It's like nutmeggy kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, nutmeg, cinnamon, clove, the usual
clove,
classic pumpkin pie spice.
Yeah.
It's great.
I'm liking
very
that.
Good.
All right. You're on to something there. A. All right. And then finally.
The reluctant A. Now, you know. There are always a subset of people that only want to drink hoppy beer year-round. So we're talking about a couple of our hoppy local favorites here that are a good little bit more weight to them, not quite as dry as stuff you'll drink in the summer like a Pilsner, but a little more weight to them, a little more hops, but a nice balance to them. So first up is Maplewood Charlatan. Maplewood's a small brewery up in, I guess it's Logan Square. It's off Diversity and something.
Sure.
Yeah.
Aren't they all up there?
Yeah, isn't that I mean, where?
They're all kind of diversity.
That's by the way, where you get all of the best mustache wax. Also, is in Logan Square.
You should check
and
it out.
And it's a guy. You don't even go to a store. It's a guy selling it out of his garage. But you have to know the code. It's like a whole thing. Yeah.
So this has the typical bright citrusy pale ale mm-hmm. notes, a little bit of passion fruit, a little bit more of that tropical character to it. Easy drinking. Oh, yeah. It comes in large 16-ounce cans, so it's serious about, having more than one.
It's good on a hot day like today in October.
Yes.
Yeah, this is kind of a lighter. This is sort of that, this is a good beer,
watching
sitting
the Bears
outside.
Game, Trubisky beer.
Yeah, this is a Trubisky beer. We should rename it Trubisky.
If you run out of Pinot Noir,
I'll take it up with the next time.
Hey, you know what? I'm sick and tired of listening to you, young lady. Just because I like to drink red wine during a football game does not make me...
less of a Bears fan.
Less of a man.
No, or less of a man. That's true.
The Whisperer knows what I'm talking about here. There's no bad.
I'm on his side.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, so we won.
Kristen, do you drink wine during a Bears game?
Oh, well, yesterday for the Packers game, I was drinking champagne, so.
See?
There you go.
Yeah,
you guys know me around here.
She's a bubble girl. Mm-hmm. I see what happened there.
It's
she's
a
also
Sunday.
A Packers
you
fan.
Need to drink champagne on a Sunday.
I know myself.
Did you put it in anything or just straight up?
Straight up, baby.
Okay, yeah. Mm. I hear what you're doing.
Now, wait, can I ask a question about beers in general? Are any of them served warm? Is that okay these days, or is that just a European thing?
Generally not. I mean, there's
there you go. That's
really,
what
I want to know
really
from him.
Heavy, strong beers that might be barrel-aged are going to be better at what's known as cellar temperature, which is going to be more of that kind of upper 40s, low 50s, but... generally not. You don't want to serve beer.
I love it very, very cold. But that's mm-hmm.
yes,
that's
too cold. It kills the aromas, though. You got to be careful. I mean, it can't like that. The whole frosted glass thing, mm-hmm. big myth.
No.
We're going to talk about on the podcast tonight.
Absolutely.
Actually,
all right. you guys can talk all you want about it.
Kill the aroma of the beer.
I want that frosted mug.
I don't care.
I don't care what you say. And
colder the better.
Right. I'm silver bulleting it, baby. But these are great. These are all A's. Some of them are pluses.
Awesome.
I might think I might downgrade to an A minus, but I'm not going to tell you which one. But I do like, they're all great. So congratulations on all of that. All right. For all of it, go to the podcast. That's the first thing. That's the most important thing. Go to WGNradio.com. Go to the podcast section, and you can find Barrel to Bottle with Binney's Beverage Depot. It's also on iTunes and Google Play. You can go there as well and just type in Binney's in the search, and it'll pop up there.
Thank you, Ro.
B-I-N-N-Y-S. And then stop by Binney's, any of the Binney's locations, and tell them you want what you heard on the Ro Contra with Anna DeVlantis, and they will look at you funny, but they probably will be able to figure it out.
Will.
They'll find somebody who can figure it out.
Thanks for sharing these delicious beers.
Look for the guy with a beard. Then you'll be able to find
any guy with a beard. Yeah. Right. Although, now more guys with beards. I don't know what's about. All right, here is WGN's own Violetta Podomatic with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. Ro Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. All right, very fun.
Very fun
Chicago
look.
Day.
Oh, yeah. Sports day? Are you kidding? I can't wait to see Trubisky tonight. Cannot wait.
It's going to be something very, very special tomorrow on the program. We got Kerry Wood going to join us, and we also to talk about the Cubs and what's happening there, and to talk about the Bears. It will be OB. The first reviews after tonight's post-game show.
Mm-hmm.
Hemp will be with Kaz. You're gonna wanna tune in tomorrow afternoon. What time is that tomorrow, by the way? Do we have that all set up?
Time on that one.
What time is OB?
5:40 for Kerry Wood.
5:40 for Kerry Wood, and then what time for OB?
This is my kind of show tomorrow.
The applause follow Kevin.
In the 4 o'clock hour. Yes. Okay. Every time Kevin comes on, he gets big applause.
Yay!
I don't understand
Kevin's
that. What's
show.
That all about?
They love the show. They love the station.
All right. So we got that. All right. So in the 4 o'clock hour, you got your OB and at 5:40, Kerry Wood tomorrow. All right.
Going to be good.
Mm-hmm. Don't want to miss that. Okay. Here we go.
Okay.
Here we go. This is the, this is the most important part of the day.
It's the Top 5 at 5 on the Ro Con Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge, kitchen and bath showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Ro Con Show. Let's go.
Yep. Let's go. All right. Checking in at
number 5.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back you go. That's Jason Aldean on Saturday Night Live. That, by the way, is about as great a move as Saturday Night Live has had in seasons.
Yeah.
To have him. I mean, there have been a really interesting bit of cold opens over the last couple of years. But this was a very, very special moment. I think it's one that every American can agree on. Most of the stuff is pretty much you're one side or the other, you know, with Saturday Night Live.
Well, they kind of ditched the topical monologue at the top. They had just a very brief monologue about Las Vegas and then moved on to him singing that Tom Petty song. It was a beautiful moment.
This week, we witnessed one of the worst tragedies in American history. Like everyone, I'm struggling to understand what happened that night and how to pick up the pieces and start to heal. So many people are hurting. There are children, parents, brothers, sisters, friends. They're all part of our family. So I want to say to them, we hurt for you and we hurt with you. But you can be sure that we're going to walk through these tough times together every step of the way. Because when America is at its best, our bond and our spirit, it's unbreakable.
Got to give it to him.
Yeah, you do. He took some heat over the weekend because he apparently had turned down the UFC's invitation to sing the national anthem at a concert they were throwing in Vegas that supposedly survivors were going to be there, first responders were going to be there. And apparently he said, you know, I'm not sure when I'm going to be able to perform again. And I'm just, you know, and then he showed up on SNL. So they got angry with him. But today he and his wife were visiting the survivors in the hospital, and his heart seems to be in the right place here. It's tough.
Yeah. I mean, if you're UFC, I think you got to stand down situation like
you
this.
You ask them and that's it.
Yeah. And he's good. There, a lot more people are going to see. It's going to reverberate more. I understand it's a branding thing. But it's the Saturday Night Live thing is a cultural icon moment. And that's, you know,
it was unifying to see him do that. A lot of people saw it.
Got it. And anybody who wants to make hay out of this right now,
I know,
is disgusting.
It's like
I mean, that is an unforgivable set of behaviors to try to be political in a moment like this, I think.
Amen.
You know, or try to defend your brand at this moment over some other brand. This is a moment of American, because this is unlike so many other of these terror acts, you know, however you want to look at them, whether it's political terror or just, you know, individual criminal terror. Mm-hmm. These kinds of acts, I mean, this is right there with Sandy Hook in terms of the just taking the innocence, in a sense, the individuals who are innocent in a situation and terrorizing a nation by being so, taking a situation that where no one can defend themselves.
Just
right? I mean, like most of these cases, the people can't defend themselves, but this is really something that is just, you know, hard to fathom.
It is.
All right. Checking in at
number 4.
President Trump's interview with Mike Huckabee. That was a tough one.
Hard hitting.
That Huckabee is
it? How did he score the interview?
Tough interview. Yeah. Chock full of some truly jaw-dropping moments, such as when the president described how Puerto Rico begged him to throw towels at them.
So we did a great job, and we weren't treated fairly by the media because we really did a good job. I mean, one example, they had these beautiful soft towels, very good towels. And I came in, and there was a crowd of a lot of people, and they were screaming, and they were loving everything. And I was having fun. They were having fun. They said, throw them to me, Mr. President. And so I'm doing some of the... So the next day they said, oh, it was so disrespectful to the people. It was just a made-up thing. And also, when I walked in, the cheering was incredible.
This isn't about you. And it isn't about the towels. And by the way, how do you know the towels are soft? They were in plastic.
The beautiful soft towels.
I mean, what is he doing? He's selling, they're not Trump towels. I think it was Bounty. I think he was just throwing Bounty.
It's Viva.
Standard.
It was Viva?
Mm-hmm. Those are kind of soft.
And then what's with that slurping sound?
He does that. He gets, you know. I don't know.
It's unbearable.
Well, then it was this.
Look, the media is fake. In the meantime, I'm here. It's sort of amazing. So I'm here, and I sometimes ask myself, how did I ever get here with the horrible, unfair publicity? And I don't mind. Look, if it's fair, if I do something wrong, treat me badly. But when we're doing good, it should be fair. The media is is really the word, I think one of the greatest of all terms I've come up with is fake. I guess other people have used it perhaps over the years, but I've never noticed it. And it's a shame.
So he came up with that?
Came up with the word fake. I know what he's trying to say there, right? It's fake media. No one's ever said that before. Fake news, right? I came up with it.
Did he just goat himself? Greatest of all time?
Yes, he did. He just goated himself. He does that. He declares himself perfect and the winner. All right.
He comes with a lot of stuff.
I'm afraid that I can't really outdo that. We're just going to move on. Violetta's got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots being brought to you by Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
Hey, guess what? Tonight, Monday Night Football, it's on WGN-TV. Bears, oh. Vikings.
Who?
Trubisky.
Oh.
Know him?
I've heard of him.
Yep. Number 10, kickoff at 7, following WGN-TV Sports Monday night, and then pregame's at 6:30. There you go.
Huge.
Very exciting.
All right. Top 5 continues.
Number 3.
Stephen A. Smith was asked whether Vice President Mike Pence planned early departure from the Colts 49ers game was a publicity stunt. He was on First Take. He argued the president has diverted attention away from the NFL protesters, and that has turned the protests into a referendum on patriotism.
His real agenda is going at an NFL community that didn't let him in that good old boys club. They didn't let him in the 80s when he was an owner for the USFL Generals. They didn't let him in when he wanted to purchase the Buffalo Bills in 2014. And he has a history that is well documented of exacting retribution against those who oppose him in any way, particularly when he believes they've cost him money. And that, I think, is what's going on here primarily. But he is the one that's winning because he's turned this into something that the players didn't intend to. So they're going to have to find a different level, a different mechanism to make their voices heard because Trump has won this round.
Okay. That's interesting. He's 100% right.
I didn't realize that background about he was trying to become an NFL owner.
Yeah.
So that's real.
A number of times. That's why he was one of the co-founders of the USFL to try to take them on. Now, what's also interesting, though, is Jerry Jones' decision now to come out and publicly say that he would bench any player who took a knee.
Right, and then you saw what happened to Jemele Hill when she said that you should protest the NFL and anybody supporters of Dallas because of that, and she's suspended for 2 weeks.
So, but you know, you wonder. It's like this again. We're having a tempest in a teapot here. This is really not the main issues of what's happening in America are not being addressed here.
No.
On either side. So, but on goes the show. Checking in at
number 2.
Ivana Trump's new book, Raising Trump. This is also not affecting what's really happening in America, but it's getting closer.
Yes, it is.
She talks about her marriage to Donald Trump and the divorce. She talks about this with Amy Robach from ABC's Good Morning America. Says she's still in touch with the president.
Sometimes I tell him to just not to speak that much, okay? And tweets are the tweets. And I think I don't disagree with him because he has so much press against him. So if he says something, his words are going to be twisted immediately. If he tweets, the whole world can really get his mind and what is his in mind, and he can tell it in his own words.
And then we get Moose and Squirrel. Continuing.
He was not really disrespectful. He just jokes. Sometimes he said things which are silly.
Joking about grabbing women.
Okay, well, that was one instance, and I just don't want to go into
it. Did you ever talk to him about it?
Not really, no.
Oh, boy, she shut down on that one.
Yeah. Okay, maybe grab a couple of women by kitty cat. Yes, maybe that is the case.
She gave another interview where she said he wouldn't be anywhere he is without me. So she's sort of, she's taking some credit for him building up his empire.
All right. And finally.
She does not like that Marla, by the way. She does not like showgirl.
Yeah. Or Melania. Or Melania.
Number 1.
All right, to Saturday Night Live, this was classic, too. They had some fun at OJ's expense in a sketch that depicted him on a Bumble date.
Amelia, I got to confess something. This steak is incredible. You want some?
Sure, why not?
All right, cool. Just give me a second. For some reason, they gave me a plastic knife.
Kenan Thompson is OJ and, of course, Gal Gadot. Or is it Godot? I guess Godot. Gail Godot.
Is it Godot? Yeah.
I don't know. Either way, who knows Godot?
She's great.
He says he was never really using a dating app before.
Are you famous or something?
Me? No. I mean, not really famous. No. So when you're dating somebody, do you, like, ever Google them?
No. I really prefer the mystery of it.
Fantastic. I feel the same way. Plus, there's a lot of fake news out there.
I'm sorry. I just want to say I can't believe you're sitting here having dinner with this man. You're disgusting.
What was that all about?
Well, I'm sad to admit this, but when you look like I do in this country, people treat you differently.
You mean because of racism?
Yes.
All right, there
you
go.
A lot of excuses.
All right, let's close this thing up, shall we?
The top five at five.